Welcome to the Roar of the Lions UK podcast, sponsored by Buzz and Sound Recording Studio. I'm Matt, I'm the host of the Roar of the Lions UK podcast. On Sunday, I had the honour of talking with Detroit Lions fullback Jason Kabinda. We talked about his early life, college career and NFL career, including his two positional changes, and his thoughts on head coach Motor City Dan Campbell. Without further ado, let's hear from Jason.
Now joining the Roar of the Lions UK podcast is Detroit Lions fullback Jason Kabinda. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you got me on, man.
Thank you. I'm going to start from like kind of your beginnings and just work forward. That seems to be for me the most logical way to do this. So from what I learned from Wikipedia, and this is my main source of information here, you were born in California and then you went to school in New Jersey. I'm curious to know what the kind of college and NFL teams you followed as a child to begin with.
That's a great question. I was a huge Eagles fan. And then I honestly didn't really watch college football until my older sister went to school. And she actually ended up going to USC, University of California. So I was actually a USC fan when I was a kid, pretty much just because my sister went there.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. So you ended up having your college career at Penn State.
Correct.
You finished ninth all-time in tackles, apparently, with 286, which is an insane amount of tackles. You were there with a former Lion in Anthony Zettel. I think that was possibly in one of your first couple of years there. And you were there at the same time as Saquon as well.
Yep.
He's an insane dude. You obviously seen him on the bench and squat and whatever. What was college like? Obviously, from the UK, college is like a completely different animal to what uni might be over here. And what was it like with those guys?
I mean, college was a great experience. I mean, at the time that I had come to Penn State, you know, Penn State was still kind of recovering from the sanctions and the things that had gone down in the past, you know, with the Paterno scandal and stuff like that. You know, we didn't have as many scholarship players as other, you know, Division I programs. I think when I first got to Penn State, I think my first year we had 46, I believe, scholarship players on the roster. And a normal Division I football team has 85 scholarships on the roster.
Wow.
So we had, as you know, I mean, to the point where the guys who we call walk-ons were guys who come and play on the team and really they pay their way through school, like they're not there on scholarship. We started to call our walk-ons run-ons because the guys who walked on actually played, you know. So going from that standpoint, you know, it was tough at first, you know, those first 2 years. But once we really got everybody to buy into what we were doing, you know, by my junior year, obviously we really came into our own and ended up winning the Big Ten championship that year.
That's fantastic. Is that the kind of highlight of your college career, would you say?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, Penn State winning its first Big Ten championship outright, you know, bringing Happy Valley back the way that we did. I mean, there was just a different level of buzz around campus after we had won the championship. There was just a different buzz. You know, Happy Valley was happy again. You know, it just felt good.
That sounds really cool. In terms of how, like, kind of college football players are perceived over here, I think we see it through the lens of what we see in TV shows, right? You know, all the kind of college jock football players are walking around and the cheerleaders are kind of following them and go, oh, you guys are so great, whatever. I'm sure that's Hollywooded up to some extent, but does it feel like that to you a little bit? Did you feel idolized in some way while you were there?
I think there's definitely an aspect of it. I think, you know, Penn State in general, I mean, the culture about football there is just like no other. I mean, there's somewhat of an obsession about it when it comes to our fans and when it comes to Penn State culture, football there, and, you know, and Joe Paterno and Beaver Stadium. So there's definitely a level of presence that you have as you walk around campus as people, you know, are looking at you and are recognizing you, you know you play on the football team or may know who you are. And, I happen to be a captain, you know, my senior year on the team. You know, that came with its own responsibilities and its own, what's the word, maybe bravado, maybe imagine. But, I come from humble roots, so that those kinds of things didn't really distract me. There's definitely a level of that, you know, without a doubt.
I read an article, I think it was from 2016 or 2017, something like that. And you, if I remember rightly, I don't have it in front of me, but you started at the Will. And then I think the Mike went down with an injury and you apparently said to the coach, "Coach, I can do Mike." And then you'd never played Mike before and you had to like watch tape and on guys who played Mike before to try and change how you were playing. That sounds insane to have that level of confidence. And it clearly worked out. What was going through your mind at the time?
Yeah, that was a tough transition for me. It's funny that you mentioned that. You know, I almost forget about that's the transition I made and how I started playing middle linebacker to begin with. But, you know, my first year I played weak side, and then going into my sophomore year, Naeem was supposed to be our Mike, and then he went down the first game. And I had to play Mike that second game. And mind you, I mean, I never even took a snap of Mike even in practice, you know, before that. So I was watching tape on Naeem. I was watching Mike's tape, Mike Hull, which is a former player. He's in the NFL still now. And I was watching these guys play Mike and seeing, you know, what the difference in position is, you know, because obviously you need to make calls. You need to see the whole formation. You need to direct the defense. There's a lot more leadership qualities that come with playing that Mike position. So that was a tough transition for me. But, you know, I was able to, you know, I kept rolling with the punches, and I, you know, I got used to the position, and it ended up obviously being the right move for me.
Sounds great. Okay. College career finished, went into the draft, went undrafted in 2018. Did you expect to go undrafted? Did all these draft profiles are made about people from these analysts. Do you read those sorts of things and know where you might go? Do they affect you in any way? Maybe when you're on the field and playing and these analysts come out and talk about you?
You know, when you finish your college career, you know, you get the opportunity through your head coach to kind of get your scouting reviews, you know, in terms of what scouts are saying about you, in terms of where you may be drafted, et cetera. You know, I was expecting that I was going to get drafted in the fourth or fifth round. You know, I got injured before the combine, which obviously played a part as well as being undrafted. But yeah, I did expect to be drafted. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's been a lot of Penn State greats who have come through that building, linebacker greats, you know, and to be able to be a guy who went and made my impact, was able to, you know, leave a legacy, as you said, you know, finishing in the top 10 in tackling and stuff of that nature. I definitely believe that I deserve to be drafted, you know, coming out of college. But obviously, as you know, it didn't go that way. But I was confident that as long as I had an opportunity, I was going to make the most of it. And you know, I've been able to do that.
Yeah, I was looking at Draft Scout, and they did kind of have you on the edge of that sort of, will he won't be drafted? And I was like, yeah. Wow, like kind of when you're in that place, obviously they don't actually know what the NFL guys think. And, you know, I'm trying to cover the draft at the moment, and it's like, oh, well, the NFL teams are high on these guys, but the media aren't, and vice versa. And it's so hard to kind of get an idea of what the players actually think when you're going through that. So
1,000%.
Yeah. So you go undrafted. In terms of post-draft, is that you kind of like just hanging on to your agent being like, when's the call going to come in? Which teams are going to come in for me? Do you get a reasonable choice of teams kind of coming in for you? If you expected to be drafted, I assume you had a few calls from different teams.
Yeah, a few calls. And, you know, I had gotten a big call from Coach Gruden really right before, you know, drafted ended, kind of just talking to me like, hey, you know, if you don't get picked up in these few picks, you know, we want you know, type of deal. So I definitely had a few offers out there. And I think, you know, the Raiders was my best option going forward in terms of playing time, you know, feeling like I could go in there and compete at the linebacker position, and just an offer of signing bonus as well. So
yeah, oh, fantastic. that works.
Behind me here, jumping up and down on the couch.
That was okay. That's good. That adds material, man. That's all good. What is Coach Gruden like? Is he just like he is on TV? Is he a bit less bravado maybe in person? Because he's a very loud and brash personality.
People love to ask this question, man. You know, Coach Gruden is, he's exactly what you would expect, you know, of what you see from him, you know, on TV. I mean, he's a very authentic guy. You know, what you see, that's what you get. You know, he's a guy who loves the game. He's a diehard football guy. I mean, you have to pull him out of the building to stop watching.
I expected that to be the case.
But yeah, he's very what you'd expect.
So we've got our NFL guys over here who do one of the BBC shows, and it's actually Jason Bell and OC Umenyura who do that show. And sorry. Yeah. So they're on the NFL show, and they always talk about the new guys, that they have their welcome to the NFL moment, sort of like you take a big hit or something that makes you realize you're not in college anymore. You're in the NFL. Did you have a moment like that so far in your career?
Yeah, you know, I had a welcome to the NFL. Mine kind of happened in practice, honestly, during that training camp. I mean, I just had a play, and it was like a toss play to Marshawn Lynch. And obviously, Marshawn's a guy who I grew up watching, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, we had met in the hole, and we don't have pads on, you know. So, like, you know, there's practice etiquette and stuff like that. So, like, me and him both know, like, if there was pads on, like, that would have been a collision type of deal, you know. he kind of walked away talking his shit, and I was talking my own stuff. And it was kind of, damn, like, if that was a game, I really would have had to pop Marshawn Lynch, like, you know. So that was kind of my little welcome to the NFL moment of, like, damn, like, I'm really here. Like, the people I grew up watching, like, I'm really competing against these guys in person. So it was, yeah, it was a dope moment.
Especially someone as hardcore as Beast Mode, you know, you're going to get a hit from him. So, yeah, that's cool. Okay, now your transition to fullback. So you were let go from the Raiders. The Lions picked you up. Did the Lions approach you to make the change? Did you see a hole on the roster for you? Because I guess the body types in terms of linebacker and fullback are kind of similar if you're a bigger-bodied fullback, bigger-bodied linebacker, sorry.
Yeah, you know, going into, well, really my first year there, you know, Nick Bowden, our fullback at the time, I kind of was on and off, kind of getting hurt and stuff like that. Nick beat me just on some, like, as an emergency, and I ended up playing a couple snaps in the game. And I did well in those snaps. And he, you know, the next year going into training camp, Nick was still kind of on and off being hurt, not being hurt. You know, I ended up going down with the ACL. And it was at that point, I was kind of joking around with my coach. He's like, man, y'all need some more dogs in your room. You know what I mean? Very next day, he ended up approaching me about Nick, because I think they found out about Nick's injury. He's like, would you be willing to come over and help the team out? So, you know, whatever the team needs, I'll do. So that's kind of how that came. Ended up making the switch and really never looking back. You know, played all 16.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was absolutely great. You performed terrifically last year. I was having a look at your PFF stats because I can't remember every single game. But I just remember from watching you that, especially at special teams, you excelled, but a fullback, you were an efficient blocker, made the gaps that we needed, especially for DeAndre. It all worked out very well. In terms of how you had to change your preparation, obviously at linebacker, you know, the defensive playbook, I guess there's not too many plays that a team's going to run with a fullback and don't use a fullback that often. But was it a big change to learn an entirely different phase of the game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't played offense really since high school, so to go back to studying defenses during my film preparation during the weeks and stuff like that, and you know and having the perspective of being that I play defense already and I know a lot of these things already, and it made playing offense a lot easier because I know so much about what goes on that defensive side of the ball, that there are certain tells, there are certain things that I can see in a game that'll tell me what kind of defense they're in, or if it's a three linebacker set or two linebacker set or whatever the case is. So that definitely helped a lot in terms of my perspective.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay. How about, what's an aspect of your game that you take real pride in that you think might separate you from other guys who maybe play your position or just as part of the team? Obviously you were a leader at Penn State, being made a captain. Is that something that you think would set you apart?
But in terms of just like my actual play, I would say my physicality. You know, I bring it every time. You know, if you come up in that hole, you come in that A gap, you come in that B gap, your helmet better be strapped up, you know. So I think that's where I separate myself, is because my first rep, the first time you see me in the first quarter to my fourth quarter rep, there's no difference. There's no change of physicality. You know, I'm going to bring it every single time. And I think I'm the type of dude who can wear guys down throughout a game. So I think that's what really separates my game.
Sounds great. Okay. So last season, change of coach was made. Darrell Bevell came in as the interim head coach. We weren't having a terrific year. And then we went and beat the Bears. What was the atmosphere like there? Our NFC North, you know, games had been pretty dire for the last few seasons. To get that win must have been huge, right?
Oh, it was huge. And I think especially knowing that first game of the season when we played them, they knew that they should have lost that game. So they kind of had it coming. And they knew when they walked off that field that we lost that game. They didn't win. So, you know, we needed that revenge. We needed that comeback. So the way we came back in that game to win, you know, at their house and shut their fans up, I mean, that was huge. It was a really good feeling.
Sure. Real, real character. Okay. Couple more questions. In terms of Dan Campbell, the new coach, have you met him yet? He seems like he has a terrific personality. He has everyone smiling, I think, any Lions fan. I think the national media thinks that he's maybe a bit mad. And I kind of like that. I don't mind that at all. Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I have. You know, I actually was able to just meet him kind of last week. But, you know, he's a great dude, guy with a whole lot of energy. You know, I like anybody who brings a ton of energy to the table. You know, anybody who seems passionate about what they do, who you could tell that when they're working, it's not even work. They're just doing it because it's what they love to do. You know, those are the kind of people that I love to work with. And he seems like that kind of guy. So I'm super excited for this new phase that we're stepping into.
I think we all feel the same about that. I mean, no matter how well or badly next season goes, it's going to be fun. That's what I feel like. It's going to be a complete change from what has been perceived in the past. But I'll say no more on that. In terms of Lions fans from the UK visiting Detroit, what would you say are maybe two or three must-see things that we could go and do while we're there? Because quite a lot of us haven't been able to make it over there, but we've seen the Wembley games over here. So what should we go and do in Detroit?
Good question. There is, gosh. Okay, so there's one place in Dearborn, Michigan. It's probably 10, 15 minutes outside of Detroit. You have to try. It's called AB's. I think it's called AB's Amazing Ribs. Yeah, AB's Amazing Ribs.
Okay.
And their brisket is phenomenal. I would have never thought get some barbecue like that. I mean, it's bomb. Another thing, I would say you just have to go kind of like walk around the streets of Detroit. I think there's a myth, you know, and I wouldn't necessarily say it's a myth. You know, obviously a lot of people left the city of Detroit with Ford leaving and stuff like that. But like the city's really starting to come back. So, you know, I think people just should start coming back just to like see the city. The city's growing again. More people are coming back. You know, it's just starting to be this a better place to be just in general.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think it was on Lonely Planet's fourth best place to go in the world last year or something crazy like that. Like people would never have thought that about Detroit. I don't think by its reputation, but it's kind of rejuvenating. The places that have been unoccupied are being filled with this kind of new wave identity.
Well, again, you know, people are coming through the city again. The city's rejuvenating. You see more construction, more growth, you know. So anytime you're seeing like construction, all that kind of stuff, you know, like growth's happening. So
yeah, that sounds great. Okay. One last thing. Have you been to the UK before? If you have or haven't, is there anything you perhaps know about us over here? I know that you were obviously meant to play the Jags last year. That got cancelled at Wembley, which is a real shame for us. What do you know about the UK?
I don't know too much. I've been once, you know, I came to London my rookie year. We played the Seahawks with the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the London Eye. You know, I walked around a ton, you know, downtown. I got to see just like the structures of the buildings and the way things are built. And like, it's a kind of place where when you're there, you know, you're in Europe. You know what I mean? I think that was the best part of it is like, you could truly tell like, wow, the culture and everything, the way things are built, like everything is different here. So like, that was really, really dope.
That's fantastic. All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason. That's going to do it for us. But hopefully I'll speak to you again soon, maybe when the Lions have won a Super Bowl in the next couple of years.
I know, man. That's the goal, man. No doubt. That's the goal.
Great stuff from Jason. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoy talking with him and really pulling for him for the rest of the season. Our next regular episode is on Tuesday, where we will do a 7-round mock draft, Detroit picks only. We're also doing a draft spectacular starting April 29th. It includes 20 hours of live streaming and over 30 guests from all around the league. If you want to know about what teams are thinking of doing, what they think of what's happened, and what they think we will do, you've got to come and join us for that. For now, I'll see you on Tuesday. Let's go Lions, one pride.